As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, Legion of Audience. This is James. And before we get started today, I wanted to take a second and let you all know about the brand new Who Would Win Patreon. If you'd like to support the show and get behind the scenes access like you've never seen before, go to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow right now. Who Would Win patrons will have access to outtake videos, early info on battles, and even get a vote on characters that we'll use in upcoming episodes. So if you'd like to support me and the show, head to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow, and for as little as $5 a month, you can define yourself as more than just a fan. You'll be an official member of the Legion. Hope to see you there.
Light beams down on the planet below. The unstable matter on the surface has still not been contained. Racing to the scene, Captain Marvel zooms in to save this world. It is then that she appears on scene and takes in the devastation this unknown material was creating, but then sees alongside it stands Wonder Woman. Now she's taking in the scene and figuring out a solution. However, Captain Marvel mistakes the hero for the cause and then zips down to neutralize her believed threat. It's Diana versus Carol. It's Warrior of Truth versus War Bird. It's Wonder Woman versus Captain Marvel today on Who Would Win?
And welcome to another episode of Who Would Win, a show that completely ignores anything important happening in the world and instead focuses on a fictional battle between two characters from the worlds of comics, sci-fi, and fantasy. I'm your host, James Gavsey, and as always, I'm joined by the legendary Ray Stecanus. Today's episode is a heavyweight championship in the geek culture versus type battles, and these two combatants have been on a collision course ever since the Who Would Win podcast was first created. In one corner, you have Wonder Woman, a warrior princess of the Amazons, known for her unmatched combat skills, magical weaponry, and considered to be the ultimate warrior of the DC universe. In the other corner, you have Captain Marvel, a hero wielding cosmic powers in order to defend the Marvel universe with strength and determination. As usual, I did the patented Who Would Win Google test just to see how many times this matchup has been discussed. And of course, this battle has been discussed thousands and thousands of times. And truth be told, this was one of the matchups I used to pitch the concept of the Who Would Win podcast years ago, which is why it's finally getting the Who Would Win treatment today. Ray, what are your thoughts on today's battle?
I'm always excited, first off, to get, you know, the lady participants involved. I think sometimes this show can skew a little bit too heavy into dude bro battles, and I don't like that. I want to get some diversity. I want to get some not men fighting on the show. I actually really like it when we have a woman character against a man character. I never know what the right way to describe these things is. They're all just characters at the end of the day. I just like to see us doing something that we don't always do. Let's let the dude bros have a week off, and let's make it ladies' night on the Who Would Win show.
Look, regardless of how you want to describe the fight, all I can see is that you have two titans of the comic book industry, of the comic book world, of geek culture going at it. It's a Marvel versus DC matchup extraordinaire. I mean, this is the battle that brings out the nerds, the geeks, all those people who would give their eye teeth to go to Comic-Con. So, Ray, I think you and I are both right. This is just a battle that's going to make everyone go crazy. And when you have this classic DC versus Marvel matchup, it's important to have a judge who will represent the sheer magnitude and importance this battle will have on geek culture for hundreds of years, no, thousands of years to come. So, making their first appearance on the Who Would Win show, it's the host of the What's on Joe Mind podcast. It's podcaster extraordinaire, of course. It's Mike Irizarry. Mike, welcome to Who Would Win.
Thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it. I suppose this means I should throw out the notes that I had accumulated before, because I was under the impression that today's bout was between the Care Bear Cousins versus the Biscuits. So I guess that's out.
That's next week's episode. Next week's episode.
All right. We save all Care Bears material for Robert Clark Chan.
Okay, fair enough. I understand that. I get that. But no, I'm far more fired up for this matchup than I was for that one. So thank you. Thank you very much for that treatment.
Look, there's a lot of pressure on you, especially as a first time judge for the Who Would Win show. But before we get into all this, please tell the Legion of Audience, our faithful fan base, what you've been up to.
Well, what have I been up to? Oh, my. For the last almost 13 years, I've been the host of What's on Joe Mind, or a host of What's on Joe Mind. We've rotated through some cast over that time. We will be, as I said, 13 years old this Arbor Day, but we are a G.I. Joe news podcast. We get together, we talk up what's been going on in our favorite fandom, the G.I. Joe fandom. I am assisted with my duties there by a former head of marketing for G.I. Joe at Hasbro, Mark Weber, and by my brother Rob, who is a comic book geek extraordinaire. And we got usually some guest to come on and shine a light on either a special project or a particular piece of G.I. Joe history. And if it all sounds very G.I. Joe intensive, I assure you we stray from the point at almost every opportunity. So if you just like seeing a bunch of dudes sitting around and talking up whatever pops into their head, What's on Joe Mind has some allure for you too. So please join us. We are live every Tuesday night on YouTube, on our YouTube channel, or you can also find the audio replays wherever your podcasts are gathered. Yeah, we've taken in going on 2 million hits over the years. It's been a fun ride.
I love it. Okay, so the fact that you've got this G.I. Joe-centric podcast, and G.I. Joe has had crossovers with Transformers and different types of, you know, comic book IP throughout the years, this makes you possibly quite the perfect judge for today's battle. I'm hoping you don't have a bias either way, because I know Ray's bringing a lot to this, and I am an insane Wonder Woman fan. Nothing against Captain Marvel. She's great, but I really, really love Wonder Woman for all the different reasons you can love, like the ultimate badass warrior of DC Comics. I'm insanely hyped for this fight. Just the Red Bull consumption alone today on my part has been criminal, but I'm all for it. Ray, are you feeling this right now? Are you up for today's battle?
Yes, James, I am fired up for this battle. I am excited. I've told you I'm excited. You know I'm excited. I've won with Captain Marvel before. I'm ready to win again.
All right, then it's time to get it on. Ray, please do us the honors and announce today's matchup.
Representing DC Comics, the Amazon who's always in her prime, Wonder Woman. And representing Marvel Comics, the hero who's so powerful, they named the entire cinematic universe after her, Captain Marvel.
Exactly what happened, by the way.
Exactly what happened. That's crazy. She's not good.
I mean, that's some forward thinking. That is some brilliance right there.
Yeah, she didn't even appear till like movie 17, and yet there it is.
Wow. Well done, Ray. Now, before we go any further, let's go over the basics of a Who Would Win match. Now, each debater will make 3 points. Keep in mind that the Who Would Win match is a random encounter in a neutral location with no prior knowledge or prep time allowed. And the debater has to stay within the confines of the character. And when it comes to determining the actual winner, it's the judge who has the final say, who will determine which character lost based on death, incapacitation, or battlefield removal with no outside interference being allowed. Remember, you can always check out all of the rules on our website at www.whowouldwinshow.tv. And before we get started, don't forget to visit the official Who Would Win store. Visit www.whowouldwinstore.com to get your hands on some great Who Would Win shirts and merch. And now, let's get to the tale of the tape for both of our combatants. Ray, please give us the details for Captain Marvel.
Carol Danvers, a.k.a. Captain Marvel, is a high-level hero in the Marvel comic book and cinematic universes. I'm doing the comic book version today. She was created by Roy Thomas and Jean Kalan and first appeared in Marvel Superheroes number 13, all the way back in 1968. Carol Danvers was born of a human father and a Kree mother. She became an Air Force pilot and later a CIA agent whose DNA ended up getting fused with a hero named Mar-Vell during an explosion. Now, this brand new Carol is seen to be super strong, durable, fast, and possess the ability to absorb and expel massive amounts of energy. She's a member of the Avengers and often shows up when the stakes are at their highest. Fun fact, if you know the Captain Marvel movie, and you should, then you know that she has a pet cat that's actually an alien Flurkin whose name is Goose. This is mostly the same in the comic books, with one major difference, that being the name. While his name is Goose in the MCU, in the comics, his name is Chewie, like Chewbacca. Now, it's not hard to see that when bringing that character to life in the movies, that had to change at some point, even though I guess at this point, Disney owns all of it, so who even cares? Doesn't matter. His name's Goose and not Chewie. Get over it. And that is Captain Marvel.
I mean, they reference Star Wars at different points within the MCU. So, you know, Chewie wouldn't have been like, it kind of makes, I'm just saying they missed an opportunity is all I'm just saying.
And don't even spell it, you know, C-H-E-W-I-E. Spell it like the pet supply brand that mails giant boxes to your house. Problem solved.
And that's some good product placement tie-ins right there, Ray Stakanis. See, you're using your mind right here, Ray. You are improving. Don't let anyone say you're not.
Give
all
us
right,
a now, call, Chewie. I need that check.
Well done, Ray. Now, here are the details for Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman, a.k.a. Diana Prince, first appeared in All-Star Comics number 8 back in 1941 and was created by William Marston. And this will also be the version of Wonder Woman that I'll be using for today's episode, the comic book version. Now, Wonder Woman is an Amazon warrior princess and one of the most powerful superheroes in the DC universe. As a daughter of Hippolyta and Zeus, she was given power by the gods to fight against evil in all its forms. Although she was raised entirely by women on the island of Themyscira, she was sent as an ambassador to what was labeled as the man's world, and her secret identity is Diana Prince. Throughout her storied history, Wonder Woman has been a founding member of the Justice League while standing shoulder to shoulder with superheroes like Batman and Superman to form what we call DC's Trinity. And here's an interesting fact about Wonder Woman. Did you know that Wonder Woman had a very different philosophy towards criminals and villains when she was first created? It's true. Right now, we see Batman scaring the heck out of criminals, Superman trying to reform them, and Wonder Woman being the only one of DC's Trinity who has really kind of no problem killing an opponent if that's the best alternative available. Evidently, things were very, very, and I mean very different back in the 1940s when all three of these characters were first introduced. Back then, Superman used to hang criminals off of office buildings and in the air by their ankles in order to scare them. Batman used to carry guns and shoot people. Oh, well, they died. And Wonder Woman was the only one of them who went out of their way to try to reform criminals by bringing them to, you guessed it, a place called Reform Island. Yes, that was an actual thing back then. And now you have the facts on both opponents. Mike, do you have any questions before we get started?
You both answered the big one that I had, and that I was wondering which version of these iconic characters we were going to be dealing with. And that is comic books. And frankly, it's the one I'm best healed in anyway. So that's good.
This is what I'm talking about. We are about to have an epic Marvel versus DC crossover event. Let's get this party started. Ray, hit us with your point number one.
Point number one for Captain Marvel. Let's just talk about some of the basics, some of the physicals. We got to get Captain Marvel's base level of power understood because she has, through her abilities with the Marvel, etc., she has enhanced physicals to a beyond superhero level. She has a strength power. She once ripped a Venom host out of Venom. Venom walked up to her. She stuck her hand in Venom and just pulled out the dude that was inside the symbiote. You can't just do that walking down the street. You have to have a supreme level of strength and power to do it. She once picked up and hoisted a Celestial. Those are powerful, large creatures right there. One of her wildest feats that I didn't know about, she used her impressive strength against a character named Absorbing Man. Absorbing Man is very, very tough. Her cape was somehow impermeable, and she grabbed her cape, put it over his face, and then held it on a giant-sized Absorbing Man till eventually he could not breathe, and he passed out. I didn't know capes could do that. I didn't know Captain Marvel could do that. I didn't know Absorbing Man needed to breathe. Anyway, it's an incredible feat that she was able to do. Her go-to move when fighting against, you know, not characters, not spaceships, but fleets of spaceships, because that's what she does. Her go-to move is, right, she either just flies directly through the spaceship, creating a whole bunch of explosions and spaces where the air, you know, would get sucked out into open space. And she either just flies through it repeatedly and blows it up, or my other favorite move. She grabs another spaceship and then flings it at a different spaceship, destroying both of them. That is outrageous. To go up into space, grab a spaceship with two hands and say, get over there, like your Scorpion from Mortal Kombat, and then blow them both up. Absolutely ridiculous levels of power. She got into a fight against the Hulkbuster. Now, I don't need to remind you, Hulkbuster armor's intention is to fight a creature whose strength can never be stopped. To fight somebody so strong that literally there is no upper level to its strength. That's the Hulkbuster. Well, she got into a fight with the Hulkbuster and just beat it so hard that pieces started flying off of it. And not just that, she one-shot a T-Rex. You fight a dinosaur, you end up in my argument, great job, Captain Marvel. But then she's got more than strength, speed. Somebody shot a missile at her, she slapped it away like it was nothing. She has remarked that she is so fast and so mentally strong that time slows to a crawl when she is in battle. Literally, she moves like Quicksilver in that one X-Men movie, running around and nobody's moving. That's how she perceives time. She can fly lightning fast. She flies faster than fighter jets and is caught up to an ICBM missile. Vision. Vision, pretty important, impressive character. She moved so fast he couldn't react to it. She fought against Ronan the Accuser, who couldn't even land a hit on her in combat because she was moving too fast for him to tag. And finally, durability. She's done my favorite thing, which I will mention every single time. She has fallen from orbit, hit the earth, and got up and walked away from it. You do that, you get a spot on my list. She's tanked bullets straight to the forehead, and she gets hit sometimes by these upper-powered characters so hard that she hits a planet and leaves a crater behind, and then gets up and keeps on fighting. In fact, strong characters that she's tanked hits from and kept going as if nothing happened include Gamora, the Super Skrull, the Hulkbuster armor, Wonder Man, Ronan the Accuser, Gladiator, Punisher in the War Machine armor, and of course, Thanos. You're taking shots from Thanos and you're still moving. Wonder Woman, while powerful, while impressive, it's just not going to be enough to keep down base level Captain Marvel. And that's my point number one.
So much to push back on this. Okay, I love Captain Marvel. Really interesting character with some ups and downs in terms of personal character arcs, which just make them even better. Okay, you know, destroying fleets of spaceships. Look, I love watching that, whether it's a cinematic universe or an animation or even in comic books. Wonder Woman's done that a whole lot, too, especially in the DC universe, of course, when they have to fight, you know, when she's fighting alongside with Superman or what have you, and they're out in the galaxy somewhere fighting spaceships. She'll go through them like it's going through tissue paper. It's just fun to watch her do that. Very cool thing. Love how you really exaggerate the Hulkbuster. The Hulkbuster armor, great, you know, device, great armor and what have you, is not designed to go up in strength to an infinite level like the Hulk is, of course, and it has severe limitations in a whole bunch of different ways. Look, if you can still take chunks off of it, that's impressive, just not in Wonder Woman's base form league whatsoever. I'm glad you kind of also compared her speed to Quicksilver in terms of like how fast she goes. She is absolutely fast because Wonder Woman's more like the Flash. Everyone knows Flash is way faster than Quicksilver. More on that later. And, you know, I get it. She's fallen from Earth and got back up. You know who else did that recently? Batman. Batman fell from orbit, survived it, got up, was actually ticked off that it happened, and walked off. So I'm glad she's as durable and as powerful as Batman, because I love Batman. That's fantastic. But let me get to my point number one. And my point number one, let's talk about Wonder Woman's base powers and abilities. Let's just kind of trade off and see what happens. Now, there's a reason why Wonder Woman is part of DC's Trinity with Superman and Batman. I've said it before. And one of these reasons is her, I call it, ungodly set of powers. She has super speed and can fly. She's listed as being able to fly much faster than the speed of light. She's defeated some of the DC Universe's speedsters by matching their speed. In fact, she's even faster than some of the Flash characters. She's listed in the top 10 fastest characters in the DC Universe. I've mentioned this point before. In one example of insane super speed, she had to protect someone from over billions of shards of this magical crystal coming at her from every angle at high speeds, and she blocked all of them, and by doing so was somehow calculated moving at millions of times the speed of light. In fact, DC writer Josh Williamson kind of answered the question of which 10 characters would win in a hypothetical foot race, to put, you know, talking about speed. Wonder Woman came in 7th, beating two more of the stereotypical Flash speedsters, one of them being Kid Flash. Of course, she's got Superman-level strength. I didn't say superhuman, I said Superman. Superman may be a bit stronger, but not by much. When it's time to move the moon or even the Earth, the team of powerhouses called upon to do it consistently pretty much has Wonder Woman in it. At the very least, she's powerful enough to move 1/3 of the Earth, although many believe she's one of the few people who can move the Earth with their bare hands. Her strength is often described as matching that of Earth. That's a thing in her godlike, you know, given talent for having strength. So at minimum, she has a planet's worth of strength, whatever that means, I don't know. Her strength is actually listed as being greater than Hercules. To put that in perspective, Shazam has the strength of Hercules, so Wonder Woman, technically, is stronger than Shazam. She's also super durable. She's able to take full punches from Superman, keep going. She's fought Doomsday, so, you know, easily went through a black hole. Tanks nukes like it's no problem. She was durable enough to redirect a blast, an energy blast, from the combined power of the Olympian gods, as in all of them. She's durable to magical attacks. That's not going to hurt her. If that's enough, she tanked the infinite mass punch. When the Flash goes from zero to infinite mass instantly, he hits way harder than anything else, and she tanked that 4 times in a row. Now, in terms of bullets hurting her, I know some people say, oh, bullets are going to pierce or whatever. That's not the case at all. She's actually walked through a barrage of bullets to the face like it was nothing, and she was smiling while she was doing it. It takes a lot to hurt her, and that's because she has a, even if something did hurt her, it'd be really hard because she's got a healing factor. And although that healing factor is not on the Deadpool Wolverine level, it's not far behind. It still heals her within a few panels of a comic book. So if somehow she does get cut, she'll heal from in seconds. Not that it matters, because Captain Marvel isn't known for cutting her opponent with any type of weapons. That's a thing. Fun fact, Wonder Woman can tank reality warping and time manipulation attacks, which means if somehow reality is warped around her or time is slowed down, she can resist it and not let it affect her. She's got super senses, super hearing, super smell, super tactile sensitivity. And all that means is try to sneak up on her, try to teleport from behind, whatever. She can feel the difference in the air pressure, temperature, whatever it is. Batman can't sneak up or sneak away from Wonder Woman. That's crazy because he can do that to Superman, not to her. She can see the souls of people and magic. She can actually look in to see someone and see what they're all about. She's going to see conflict within Carol Danvers because this is someone who's a former alcoholic. She's had personality issues. You know, her power's been drained by Rogue, the whole thing. She's got a lot of interesting things about her. That's going to come into play. Wonder Woman can use that against her. She's got super powerful breath, can make, you know, hurricanes with all that. That's really cool. And she's got super stamina. Listen, Captain Marvel's got great stamina. She can fight at full power, I believe, for a day. Wonder Woman can do that for years. And her powers aren't even close to being the best parts of this character. That's why I love Wonder Woman. All that is my point number one.
See, you gave up a little bit too much there, James Gavsey. You mentioned that Carol Danvers did have a problem with the drink. She has had her powers taken away before. But that didn't stop her from being a valued member of the team, of the Avengers. Even when she didn't have any powers, that's her willpower was such that she kept being a great superhero even without them until they came back. In short, she has overcome way more adversity than Wonder Woman has in her own property, and I thank you, James, for putting that on the table. Oh, and speaking of which, oh yeah, she did do a lot of stuff with Superman, didn't she? She did do a lot of stuff with the Justice League, all the iterations. It's almost like those characters, she needs those characters in order to do the things that she needs to do. In fact, when doesn't she fight with a team? Because it seems like all the time she's fighting next to Superman, and it's real easy to look good when Superman's taking everybody out for you. And you mentioned Shazam's power. Great. Shazam is very powerful. You're right. Captain Marvel on the Who Would Win show already beat him once. And that wasn't even a problem. So, Graham, I'm glad we're starting with a character, James, you're making comparisons to, that she's already beaten. Last thing to mention, she's very, very smart as well. And I think a lot of that with Captain Marvel, she put things together quickly. She was once in orbit with the Hulk, and she threw the Hulk down and hit her target, which was an enemy on the surface of the planet. The ability to calculate that and put it together means that she is beyond genius-level intellect. When it comes to packing a punch, she knows where to hit.
Nowhere is it listing her as a genius. And this is someone who's also a fan of Captain Marvel. All good stuff, Ray Cicanus. Let's see what our judge has to say about this. Mike, you've heard 1 point from both Ray and myself. Where's your head at so far with this battle?
In regards to the physical abilities of both of these combatants, Ray made a point of Carol Danvers losing her powers. I would remark that Wonder Woman spent some time without powers in the 70s as well, and still had enough clout to carry a superhero title during that time. So I'd just go with a push there. That's really, in regards to power, I think that's what we have. We have a push. Wonder Woman has long been one of the standard bearers over at DC, and Marvel for many, many years, and this is going to I'm going to step outside of comic book stories for a second and talk marketing so everybody can glaze over for just a couple seconds. Marvel has always wanted to have a female hero that they could promote at the same level. They tried Spider-Woman for a while. They've tried Sue Storm for a while. They tried Storm for a while. And none of those really clicked because they didn't have the clout of a Wonder Woman. And I think they finally figured out that Carol Danvers as Captain Marvel could become that hero. And so story-wise, they kind of leveled her up to match. And I think that's the whole point. So if we're just looking at physical ability, I don't think there's an edge to be had. I think you're both right. You know, so if there's going to be a decisive knockout punch in this fight, it's not going to come because one lady's tougher than the other.
Interesting stuff that I completely disagree with, but whatever, you're the judge. We go by what you have to say, but I love how competitive this already is. This battle just got even crazier than I could have ever expected. We'll be right back for point number two.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
And we're back. Ray, let's see what you've got. Hit us with your point number two.
Point number two for Captain Marvel. And I'm glad you think that what we've said so far shows them as equals physically, because when I take it up a level, it's going to make this so much more obvious. But the things to mention here, she has more abilities than Wonder Woman does. Wonder Woman has a couple pieces of magical equipment. Sure, I don't think they do a lot against Captain Marvel, to be honest with you. She gets in that invisible jet. Captain Marvel just throws a spaceship into it and it's gone, right? However, Captain Marvel flies. I know Wonder Woman very, very recently gained the ability to fly as well, but let's face it, she hasn't been flying for very long. She needed that jet for decades. Captain Marvel's been flying ever since she got her powers, and she's been flying at an elite level. Ridiculously fast. She goes from the surface of the planet up to the moon in mere seconds. She can move dazzlingly fast. I don't know that Wonder Woman can necessarily keep up with her if this becomes an aerial battle. But the other things that Captain Marvel can do that I don't think Wonder Woman can do is have a ranged attack. She shoots energy blasts, and I would like to believe enough energy blasts of a high enough intensity eventually would wear down and bring down Wonder Woman, who needs to get close to Captain Marvel in order to do any damage. But Captain Marvel does not need to get close to Wonder Woman to do that same damage. She can control the power of her blast. She can have it be very, very soft, so it doesn't kill humans, or she can ramp it up to the highest levels to blow up airplanes, to blow up spaceships, buildings, planets. And not only that, she can turn her energy blast into a force field as well. She's been able to use it to contain energy and damage at her and then shoot it back in. Her beam was able to match Iron Man's best beam that he's ever done, and she was able to defeat that, match it, defeat it, be good with it. This beam has wrecked high-level characters. We're talking characters like, you know, the Sentinel, the Hulkbuster, sure, but also Proxima Midnight, you know, one of Thanos' crew. This guy essentially wrecks teams of superheroes by himself, but yet the energy beam was able to take him out. So you know that it's packing a massive punch. But not only does she expend energy, she absorbs energy as well, right? Obviously, she absorbs energy blasts. Any type of an energy attack essentially is a Nerf gun against her. But she also can absorb the elements around her. She absorbed the heat of re-entry coming into orbit, right? That's a pretty big deal. She absorbs energy that is shot at her and hit her with, and then sends it back even harder. You've seen the Black Panther movies and what the vibranium suit can do. It eats the impact of energy, and then it expels that energy back tenfold. But she's also absorbed cosmic energy before. That's the highest level in the Marvel Universe, right? She has absorbed ambient light. Whenever she needs to power up, all she needs is a candle nearby, and she can absorb that energy. But my favorite, of course, she absorbed the energy of a nuclear blast. You can't even nuke Captain Marvel because she just vacuums up the energy and then saves it to blow you out with it later. So as rough and tough and powerful as Wonder Woman might be, and she is, Captain Marvel can absorb energy all day long, shoot it back tenfold at whatever she wants it to, and can fly better than Wonder Woman, quite honestly. As a result, this becomes a long-range battle that Wonder Woman is ill-equipped to win. And that's my point number two.
Wow. You know, I love Ray's way of explaining things and kind of adding some insane clown posse way of making it sound bigger and better. I'm just saying I'm a fan of insane clown posse
recently. I am the ringmaster.
It's crazy. All right, so let me push back a lot. First of all, Wonder Woman's been flying for decades. And I mean decades. She's also been flying at light speed for decades. Carol Danvers moves at what, Mach 5, maybe Mach 7 at her best, and Wonder Woman's flying at the speed of light, if not faster. There's no comparison speed between these two characters. Again, it's like Quicksilver versus the Flash. That's the same way of thinking about it this way. And these are just facts within DC and Marvel. Look, for these force fields, she's not known for her force fields. She may have a one-off or what have you, but this is not something she's known for. She's got very strong energy blasts. I think she can like destroy a mountain range with some effort, which is super impressive. Destroying a planet, that takes a lot out of her to do. It's not something she can do easily. She's got to ramp up. And even if she could, it's going to take a lot out of her, and she's going to have to kind of regenerate that power. More on that later. You know, and also she's got a huge problem with magical energy. This is the thing. She's not fighting a being who's using like, you know, regular physics type of energy. Wonder Woman's a magical being using magical energy to not just fuel her or power her, but also with her weapons and everything else. And magic is so hard for Carol Danvers to deal with that she has to team up with Doctor Strange to deal with it. That's a good tactical thing for her to do, but it's not something she can do in this battle. Magic absolutely weakens her, affects her, and can take her out in so many different ways. Now, let me get to my point number two. And for my point number two, yeah, Ray, let's do this. Let's just talk about weapons, and even some armor. Let's do that. So Wonder Woman has many weapons as well as types of armor at her disposal. This is cool. Some are well-known, some aren't. However, these are all part of Wonder Woman's current character continuity and have all helped her to either defend her from gods within the DC universe, as well as Superman class types of beings, including Superman. Let's go there right away. She's got the Lasso of Truth. I love this. Absolutely unbreakable. Has restrained characters as powerful as Superman, Shazam, and the gods Ares and Hades, which means even the most powerful gods can't resist it. The Lasso burns, of course, with a magical aura called the Fires of Hestia. This just forces everyone to kind of drop what they're doing, kind of stay confined within the Lasso and tell 100% truth. The Lasso can also restore lost memories, dispel illusions, heal Wonder Woman herself. It can also force someone to kind of calm down and take the fight out of someone. She's done this with Power Girl and Supergirl and other characters as well, who are at least as powerful, if not more powerful, than Captain Marvel. It can also channel magical destructive energy. One time it destroyed a creature called Decay, who could channel the power of death through herself, the character Decay, to kill literally anything. So Wonder Woman channeled magical energy through her lasso to somehow destroy Decay. She destroyed Decay, the being. Don't know how it's worked, but it's magic, so it works. And this is something that she can use on Captain Marvel in a whole bunch of different ways to trap her and to calm her down. Then there's Wonder Woman's golden tiara. This is really cool. It doubles as a bladed throwing weapon used for long distance attack or defense. She used it to slit Superman's throat, thereby getting a win over Superman, you know, who was bloodlusted at the time and wanted to kill her. She also used it to cut off the head of the god named Deimos. And she had, this was a god combined with a demon. And she just took the head off kind of Highlander style. It was great. She has a powerful shield from Zeus that protects her from any type of energy blast or punches from gods that are way more powerful than Superman. It can also be used in a really cool Captain America way where she can throw it and, you know, use it to hit everything because she's a great trained fighter as well. She's got her magical bracelets. These are really cool. Of course, they're going to deflect or reflect weapons and energy blasts of all types, including, this is my favorite, Darkseid's Omega Beams. Look, as powerful as Captain Marvel can get, they're not going to be Darkseid's Omega Beams that can erase you from existence or literally blow up a planet, whatever you want to do. And again, when they strike that, we see this in movies, when she strikes her bracelets together, there's a concussive force that's so strong, it's strong enough to hurt Superman. Fun fact, Wonder Woman can also project energy blasts and lightning from them, so they're also powerful enough to damage Zeus himself. That's crazy. She can also attack from super far ranges, just like Ray was saying, but she's going to use magical blasts of energy to do it. She's also got a god-powered sword that's pretty much indestructible. It's so sharp, it can cut and kill Kryptonians and can easily split atoms. That's crazy. She also possesses, this is really cool, the Bolt of Zeus, which she can just summon and call whenever she needs it. She can use that as just a regular lightning bolt of crazy, insane magical energy, and it destroys everything. It touches everything around it, and you know she can hold it, throw it, and it comes right back to her. It's very similar to what Thor was using in Thor Love and Thunder, except it seems like it's way more destructive to use. I'm going to keep going. She also has her gold armor, which is that eagle-themed winged armor she can summon. What does that do? Oh, I don't know. It only makes her even more powerful and more indestructible. It takes something equal to world-shattering force to harm her while she's wearing this armor, which she can magically again summon at any time. So with her little god-given weapons that can take out both gods and Superman, as well as armor that can power her up even more, it's pretty easy to see how they could do the same thing in terms of damage and destructive capability to Captain Marvel. All of that is my point number two.
Wow, James, did you just say that she does energy attacks? The one thing you should never do against Captain Marvel? So if Captain Marvel is able to keep her distance, which she will be able to, Wonder Woman's going to have to resort to energy blasting her. It doesn't matter if the source of the energy is magical. The fact that it is energy means that she will be able to absorb it. Lightning is lightning. It doesn't matter where it originated from. And Captain Marvel eats that on top of her Frosted Flakes instead of milk. She could also redistribute the energy inside her own body, which means that, I didn't mention it before, Captain Marvel has a healing factor equal to Wolverine's. You mentioned a healing factor on your side. Well, I got a better one on mine. And why, if Wonder Woman is so great, does she have losses to such characters as Harley Quinn, Batwoman, Ra's al Ghul, Storm, and she has a loss against Spider-Man. Spider-Man just used his webs and kept gumming her up and then made it so that there was no light. So Wonder Woman, who can't see in the dark, and Spider-Man can, essentially got Wonder Woman to take a knee because he has webs and darkness on his side. Wonder Woman is great, but if that's gonna beat her, Captain Marvel's gonna tank her.
I love it. You're pulling up Marvel and DC crossovers from the late 70s and early 80s. I love it when you set a president race to Canis. Not saying I'm going to do the same thing, but I'm going to do the same thing.
I'll beat you to the punch on that because I know you.
And I love how magical energy something. Anyway, all good stuff. Look, we are at the turning point. Mike, you've had a moment to ponder 2 points from both Ray and myself. Who do you think is ahead? And what does the other side have to do to pull out the victory?
Well, I mean, as much as you try to keep your predetermined notions out of fight like this, I think Wonder Woman is a generational hero, right? Like my grandparents knew Wonder Woman and knew what she was about. And so this fight has always been about trying to prove that Captain Marvel can punch up to that as much as you'd like it not to. And honestly, the magical array that Wonder Woman has at her disposal is the ultimate curveball to a character like Captain Marvel. And I'm not necessarily convinced that Ray dispelled those doubts in my head. The fact that, you know, physical energy is something that Captain Marvel, Carol Danvers, plays very well with is one thing, but mystical energy is something else, and that's what Diana deals with when she takes the opportunity to make ranged attacks and fire blasts and things like that. Things that she doesn't do very often. Things that she doesn't have a need to do very often. But they are there at her disposal. So I have to say I am leaning more towards Diana after round two.
Wow. Okay. Listen, I agree with this 100%, but we've seen what Ray Sicanus can do when he's slightly behind. That's when he's the most dangerous.
He's wily.
He is wily. The battle is heating up. We'll be right back for point number three.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
And we're back. Ray, it's time to get serious. Hit us with your point number three.
Point number three, let's just talk about what takes Captain Marvel over the top, Mike. And let's talk about why she will absolutely defeat Wonder Woman. First off, she has a seventh sense. We already know that her other physicals, you know, every other aspect of her is beyond high-level superhero abilities. But she reports having a seventh sense. I don't know where the sixth sense is, but she jumped straight to seven. That's how ridiculously powerful she is. That is a form of precognition and danger sense. It's basically Spidey sense cranked up to 11 by Spinal Tap. And it means that often when fighting against an opponent, she can know what they're going to do before they do it. And since her reaction speed is so off the charts, if you know the move, that the chess move your opponent's about to make, you can defeat them very easily if you are well-trained, which she is. She could predict every attack before Wonder Woman actually makes the attack, and then therefore dodge it easily and counter it easily. She's a great fighter. I know Wonder Woman is also a great fighter. Captain Marvel wins battles against evenly matched opponents all the time. She's constantly facing doppelgangers or Rogue with her power set, and all these other battles against people who match her physically, and she's still able to overcome and win. Why? Because she is a better fighter than basically anybody else that she fights. But the big thing that I want to talk about here is how Captain Marvel could take it up to 11. Because if she absorbs enough energy, if she takes enough damage, if she gets angry enough, she flips into binary form. Now, binary form takes standard Captain Marvel, who in my mind already can hang with Wonder Woman, and then knocks that out of the park, again, cranking it up to 11 as well. She just absorbs energy, she fights in a battle, and then eventually, once enough energy has passed through, boom! She's now glowing yellow binary form. That allows her to sense energy, which means that if she can sense energy, she knows more places she can absorb energy from. She's referred to herself as having the power of a star. In my mind, that star is the sun, but not the sun of this galaxy, the sun of some other galaxy that's a million times bigger and better than our sun, because I don't want to take a risk with this statement. The thing I'm also saying is everything is amped up when she's in binary form. That includes her awareness, just naturally, which means her seventh sense, her precognition, is also amped. So if she knew what Wonder Woman was going to do one move ahead, in binary form, she probably knows 3, 4, 5 moves ahead. And she's fast enough, reactive enough, that as soon as Wonder Woman launches into one of these attacks, she's just going to get out of the way and use it to her advantage. Let's face facts. Carol Danvers in binary form walked on the surface of the sun. Not since Smash Mouth told us it was possible did we know, and Captain Marvel made it happen. She was also has the ability to somehow transmute people in binary form. The Brood Queen got her and messed with her mind, right? So she hit the Brood Queen with a blast and turned the Brood Queen into crystal, which also somehow shattered it, which also destroyed the planet that they were on. Planet-busting transmutation. Wonder Woman doesn't have an answer for that. And that's why, easily, Captain Marvel has wins over characters like Nuclear Man, Ant-Man at his highest point, Valkyrie, Iron Patriot, Ronan the Accuser, of course, and also Rogue, who was fully powered with her own powers. She was able to take out Rogue in that particular sense. So at the end of the day, you give Captain Marvel an evenly matched character, and she defeats them. And she does it with pure skill and the ability to transmute and the ability to go binary whenever the heck she needs to. And I guarantee in a matchup against Wonder Woman, eventually it's going to go to binary form. And when that happens, Wonder Woman will have no answers. And that's my point number three.
All right. A lot to push back on. Now, first of all, yeah, I do think she's got this precognition, what have you. Danger sense, not so sure, because it really hasn't served her well, nor has it been really showcased within her character. But, you know, if you want to say that, there's a push because Wonder Woman also has a magic-based precognition and danger sense that she has, which helps her a lot in battle and helps her with her tactics and strategies as well. I think at best that's a push. I think Wonder Woman has better senses than that. Captain Marvel, by the way, she's not a great fighter. She's not. I think she's a good brawler. I'm going to get into this more in my point number three, but yeah, compared to Wonder Woman, 5,000 years of Amazonian training, yeah, you're not comparing apples to apples, you're raised to Canis. By the way, binary is a cool thing, but that happens if she absorbs enough energy, enough energy she can use, and she can't hold that form for really a long period of time. Again, I'll get into more of that later. By the way, it takes a lot out of her and takes forever to recover from it. And then finally, transmuting Wonder Woman. Yeah, I already said that's not going to work because Wonder Woman is already proof or durable against reality warping and time manipulation. It doesn't work on her, especially the reality warping, for some reason. So yeah, try to transmute her. It's not going to do a thing. Now, let me get to my point number three. For my point number three, let's talk about Wonder Woman's fighting skills, her wins, her upgrades, and Captain Marvel's weaknesses. Now, Wonder Woman is what you get when you put 5,000 years of fighting training with someone who has a power set similar to Superman's, and a warrior's attitude of not holding back with a whole lot of magic and God-given weapons added into it. So just how good of a fighter is she? Again, trained for thousands of years in order to see, analyze, and instantly devise plans to take out opponents ranging from gods of the Greek pantheon to Superman-level villains to universe-destroying, at least galaxy-destroying creatures. There's literally nothing Captain Marvel can do that Wonder Woman hasn't seen many, many times and many different and more powerful variations. Sure, she can go binary. Awesome. We've seen a sun-dip Superman. We've seen Zeus kind of go Super Saiyan. These are things she's dealt with and overcome. Good luck with that, Captain Marvel. But what's really interesting, it's her ability to fight, or more specifically, her combat speed. This ability of hers enables her to fight at faster than light speed, at her high level of 5,000 years of training. It's so good that even Batman agrees that she can fight better and fight faster than Superman ever could. And thanks to that and her other ability, she's got some incredible wins. She's fought and beaten The Flash, Martian Manhunter, Plastic Man, and Black Canary at the same time, all while blindfolded as a training exercise, and she took them all out. That is crazy. She's beaten Superman, as in took out a bloodlusted, mind-controlled Superman who wanted to kill her, where she had to stop him by cutting his throat with her tiara, slit his throat, and if she can tag Superman at super speed, slash his throat to stop him, she can definitely do that to Captain Marvel. She's taken out Green Lantern, who has way better power manipulation projection abilities than Captain Marvel does. Did I mention she's beaten Superman a number of times? Because she did. She's beaten Hercules, all types of kaiju-sized superpowered demons and monsters. She's taken out invading space armies by herself, demon hordes, even has Hades, the Lord of Hell, afraid of her because that's crazy. She killed Ares, the God of War, because why not? She beat the Juggernaut in a Marvel-DC crossover, the actual Juggernaut from Marvel, with one punch that was so strong that it tore his helmet off of his head and knocked him out cold. Again, with one punch. She's even beaten Power Girl and Supergirl. Now, when you take Captain Marvel, a lot of people say it's Wonder Woman, that's her equivalent. I actually think Supergirl is a little bit closer. She was kind of trained in the military on Krypton and what have you, and has a lot of attitude to her. I think that's more of the equivalent, but more on that later. She beat both Power Girl and Supergirl, where she, on separate occasions, she outfought both of them, then tied both of them up with her lasso in each fight. And with her lasso, she then controlled their minds and commanded them to stop fighting completely. And if all that wasn't enough, she's got some upgrades also available to her. She can tap into the power of Zeus, which will give her an immediate massive upgrade to all of her powers. I guess that's similar to how she goes Captain Marvel goes binary. Here's a fun one that Captain Marvel can't do. Wonder Woman can call on the God Wave, which lasts a short time, but acts very similar to Goku's Kaioken technique from Dragon Ball Z, where her powers are exponentially multiplied. With a God Wave, she can fight and even beat beings who are strong enough to destroy reality. And if that wasn't enough, here we go. If she takes off her bracelets, she becomes 10 times more powerful. Yeah, she wears her bracelets to dampen her powers so that she doesn't accidentally kill everyone on Earth. But if she needs it and the stakes are high enough, she's taking them off to wreck everything in her path, especially that opponent she needs to take out. Let's talk about Captain Marvel's weaknesses. She actually has a pretty bad win-loss record against opponents who are weaker than her. Check this out. She lost, as in lost outright, to Cyclops. She lost to Spider-Man, as in got dropped by Spider-Man completely. She lost to Gamora, who is weaker than Spider-Man, but a really good fighter. And Gamora beat Captain Marvel in a fight. But there's more. That was when Captain Marvel had the Reality Stone on her. That's right. Gamora physically beat a Reality Stone using Captain Marvel. And she's not as strong as Spider-Man, but she's an insanely great and talented and skilled fighter. This is one of my favorites. She got one-shotted by the least powerful version of the Hulk, a Hulk called the Calm Hulk. And what happened was Captain Marvel came down and started raining down thunderous punches on the Hulk. And the Hulk's just sitting there going like, okay, okay. And Captain Marvel's tired and she stops. And the Hulk just looks at her and says, feel better? And then just gives her one shot and pummels her through several buildings throughout New York because that's what he does. Also, the more she uses her powers at high level, especially at binary, the more she depletes them, the quicker she depletes them. Once that happens, it takes her anywhere from many hours to days to recharge. I've already established this. Wonder Woman's got stamina for years, many years. That's not the case for Captain Marvel. Fun fact, this is a big one. Captain Marvel has no defense to mind control, brainwashing, bodily possession. There are many examples of this, but my favorite was when a telepath named Shadow King easily entered her mind telepathically, took control of her body as well. Captain Marvel was just rendered helpless at his guy's peril, like mercy right away, which is why she's going to lose. Wonder Woman represents that Superman level power with more fighting skill than Captain Marvel has ever faced, who has that God level thing that she can do. And this is what she's going to do with that lasso. They're going to have a massive fight. She might go binary. Then Wonder Woman calls on the God Wave, summons that power of Zeus, takes off her bracelets, whatever it is, boom, 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 uses this unbreakable lasso that she's done with Power Girl and Supergirl. She's going to bind her up, tie her up, give that telepathic or magical command going into Captain Marvel's mind. She's already been possessed. She has no defense to mind control. And that's where Woman says, stop fighting. Stop fighting. She might hit her again, whatever. Stop fighting. She's actually going to get Binary or Captain Marvel, whoever it is, to stop. And that's how she's going to win this fight, because she's going to respect the heck out of someone like Captain Marvel. There are so many other ways she could win physically as well, with the armor and what have you, but that's probably how it's going to happen. All that put together is my point number three.
James, so much of what you said was quite patently ridiculous. First off, the magic. I can appreciate magical energy is something that Captain Marvel has trouble with, but Wonder Woman's not exactly a known magic user. She's not Doctor Strange, Dr. Fate, Zatanna, Constantine. She's not a wizard per se. She is somebody who uses magical items to create in-world reality effects. And to me, that is a very different source of energy. And I think that is a distinction that must be made. And talking about losses, of course, Captain Marvel, and some of these are very outlandish that you mentioned, deep outliers, might I add. The Gamora thing is a whole storyline where essentially Gamora takes out like every reality or every Infinity Stone user to have her own thing. It was a bunch of silliness. We've seen the same thing out of Catwoman and before, whatever. But losses that Wonder Woman legitimately have involve, you know, of course, Aquaman. She loses to Aquaman, who talks to fish. She's going to lose to Captain Marvel. Superman, of course. Martian Manhunter. Bizarro's taking her out. He's not exactly a mental giant. And not only did I mention before, Batwoman took her out with her own lasso. Outrageous. Swamp Thing was able to incapacitate her with vines, and she didn't even put up a fight against it. But also, she lost against Jax. Who's Jax? That's Jackson from the Mortal Kombat series. She lost to Jax, for God's sakes. Hardly a character worthy of her. Scorpion too, but he's at least a little bit better. But when you lose to Jax, you can't beat Captain Marvel.
Oh, that's it? Okay, gotcha. All right. Well, that's an interesting
need
point.
Need I say more?
You could. I'm surprised you're not. But all of that is good because...
I don't need 6.5 minutes to make my points, James Gavsey. This isn't season two.
Were you including the rebuttal in that 6 minutes? Because my rebuttal was fantastic.
Definitely.
All right.
Not.
Listen, Mike, you've heard 3 points from both Ray and myself. It's time for you to make a decision. But before we get to what Mike has to say, let's celebrate the Who Would Win Patron of the Week. Every week we choose one of our amazing members of the Who Would Win Show's Patreon community and put them in a battle. Ray, which patron do we have today?
Today we're going back with the patron who's been with us for a little while now. Obviously a friend of the show, used to make videos for us. Matthew Dawson is back in the spotlight.
Ooh, when you have someone like Matthew Dawson who has created and continues to create magic, you need a magical character who thinks outside of the box, take him on. We may have had him on this show before. Screw it, we're doing it. Let's have Matthew Dawson fight Beetlejuice.
Now, that is a controversial episode of this show, and I'll just say right now, Matthew Dawson, congratulations, we'll be getting married, as far as I know, later this year. And Beetlejuice loves one thing, it's a wedding, because he likes to crash it, and he tries to steal the bride. So I envision a scenario where he is at the altar, Matthew Dawson is ready to say his vows, looking fantastic, whether they're on a beach, in some sort of ancient Roman church, I don't know. But I do know this, Beetlejuice will show up somehow. He finds his way into this establishment wherever it is. And he starts reality warping the world around him in a way that would easily defeat the Ghostbusters, might I add. And he would start making changes to the world. And Matthew Dawson will see what's going on. He's written enough superhero stories. He's written enough audio dramas. He knows at the end of the day when something is amiss. And he immediately is going to look over. He's going to see Beetlejuice. And he's going to say, Beetlejuice. Beetlejuice is going to try to throw a thing on him. He's going to unzip the mouth. He's going to say, Beetlejuice, a second time. And he's get the iron plate over his mouth. But then his lovely bride will step in and say, Beetlejuice, for the third time. Didn't see that coming, did you, Beetlejuice? He gets banished. The wedding continues. And everyone is happy in Michigan.
So you're telling me Matthew Dawson needs outside interference from his soon-to-be wife to be Beetlejuice? All I got to say is outside interference is absolutely allowed when it comes to fiancés and wives, because they're never wrong. That's all I'm trying to say. Congratulations, Matthew Dawson, on everything, by the way. Awesome human being. Remember, you too can become a celebrated patron of the week. All you have to do is go to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow and sign up, and you may be featured in an upcoming episode of Who Would Win.
Now, James, what is marriage if not outside interference?
Wow. I don't know how to answer that without both of us being in danger. So I'm just not going to answer that.
Probably
all right,
best.
Listen, Mike, it's time for your decision. Take us through your process, tell us a story, if you will, and reveal who you think wins this battle between Wonder Woman and Captain Marvel.
I'm going to first just give kudos to Ray on that last statement there. As a formerly married person who can get in no trouble, I think that summed up the entire institution extremely well. So bravo to that, sir.
Thank you.
Wow, thank you.
Well done. Now, as far as today's episode goes, I have to say I've thoroughly enjoyed listening to you guys argue this, and I do enjoy too how you built those arguments to crescendos like a comic book story would, in that you started off with just sheer physical abilities, and then we got into gimmicks and weapons, and then we finally get down to the nitty-gritty of just skill and endgame tactics. So it's really wonderful. It's like watching an episode of an animated show with these two characters duking it out together. But I do have to say, at the end of the day, the Care Bear cousins can shoot lasers out of their stomachs, and the biscuits are just small dogs. So I have to go with Care Bear cousins.
Finally! Finally, I get
mean, this
that
makes
win.
So much sense.
Thank you.
This tracks 100%.
Wait a minute. I'm getting a buzzing in my ear. That's not the battle they're hoping you judge today, Mike.
Oh, okay.
Our producers are hitting me up. Actually, they're very angry at you for making that reference.
So we lost 5 sponsors, by the way.
Oh, I'm sorry, guys. I can't replace that monetary value, but I can send along some Burger King coupons. They are good anywhere in the Indianapolis area. So they're valuable coupons. But seriously, though, You knew I couldn't get through this without coming back to Care Bear Cousins versus Biscuits. But to get back to the nitty gritty, as I said last break, this has always been about you can't separate Wonder Woman from DC Mythos, right? You're dealing with one of the most powerful, if not the most powerful, all-around hero in that canon. Superman is the standard bearer, and this is somebody who can go toe-to-toe with Superman and not blink. So I don't think that's too far out of the realm of comparison there. The beginning of this fight, Ray had a bit of an uphill battle, unfortunately, in that he's got to prove Captain Marvel as being of that class. I tell you, you came strong on point number three, Ray. Binary form is not something that a lot of casual fans even remember at the time. And so that is a big decider in regards to where this fight can go. But I think James did a very good job of pulling similar rabbits out of the hat in regards to how Diana would counter an attack like that. At the end of the day, I like James's point. Diana is a 5,000-year-old warrior. She is born and bred to do this. Carol is an excellent soldier, but at the end of the day, she's a normal woman who picked that somewhere up along the line. Her 15 years of combat experience, even if she is an excellent human fighter in that 15 years of trained experience, that is nothing on being an Amazon with millennia under her belt. So I had to continue to give an edge to Wonder Woman there. And ultimately, Ray, I mean, I know I put it on your plate to make the comeback there. You put up a great fight here, but I have to give the edge to Princess Diana of Themyscira. Wonder Woman is the winner of this battle.
And there you have it. By the way, little sidebar, I don't think Wonder Woman's ever won a battle on the Who Would Win show yet. And today she gets that much needed, that much deserved victory over a great opponent, Captain Marvel, rep beautifully by Ray Stekanis. I'm about to go celebrate. Legion of Audience, find me in Los Angeles. We're hitting up some club. Drinks are on Ray. We're going to go crazy. But before we do that, let's find out. Ray Stekanis, you put up another great debate. Tell the Legion of Audience, our fan base, how you're feeling right now.
I'll say right now, Wonder Woman did lose her original first battle. I believe the only time she's been on the show before against Deadpool, and that was absolutely the correct decision. What was the second time?
She lost incorrectly to Deadpool, and it was a really insane battle against Bayonetta.
I was just thinking about Bayonetta the other day, and I should have remembered that great victory that she had over Wonder Woman, who should be 0-3 on this day. She should be Master Chief, quite honestly, but she's not. She's John Wick because she got her redemption. I don't think that she necessarily should have gotten her redemption in this battle. I'll just say right now, I think that Captain Marvel would also beat Deadpool, and Deadpool beats Wonder Woman. Ergo, there we are. I haven't been this disappointed since Jahmyr Gibbs fumbled in the NFC Championship game. I don't know where else to go. I don't know what else to say. This is an outrageous decision.
Brilliant decision by Mike. Mike, this is your first episode of the Who Would Win show, and you were absolutely fantastic. Love your dry wit. Love your insight. Love your logic, by the way. Please do all of us a favor and come back on the show in the meantime. And until that wonderful day that you're back on as a judge, please tell the Legion of Audience, our fan base, where they can find you online.
You can find us wherever you get your fine social media product. We are on Facebook at What's On Joe Mind. We are on the tweet site with WOJM Podcast. We are on Threads and Instagram at What's On Joe Mind, just all spelled out. You can find us on Blue Sky as well at What's On Joe Mind dot whatever else they put on the end of their bits there. And of course, the big show is on Tuesday nights at 9 o'clock Eastern time on YouTube. We sit around and prattle for two and a half hours all about the ins and outs and the people of the wonderful hobby that we call G.I. Joe. And then again, you can find the audio wherever you get your podcasts afterwards. Usually for a Tuesday episode, I will get that audio posted that Friday. So if you're not a YouTube person, wherever your podcasts are gotten, you can get What's On Joe Mind.
I love it. All right, Ray, again, this was a tough battle. You did a great job. You lost. But still, valiant effort on your part. Please tell our listeners where they can find you.
Disappointment carries many forms. You know, I mentioned the football form earlier today. I would argue Mike, that this decision is equal in disappointment to me not getting a USS flag for Christmas at any point during my childhood or, nay, adulthood.
I think that's fair, Ray. I think that's fair.
Never getting a USS flag, one of the greatest regrets of my entire life, given that back in the day it was like $100, $150. Now it's $50,000 to get one. I would argue that my parents should have dropped the hammer and get me one before, and it is a misery I will take with me forever. Alongside this loss of Captain Marvel to Wonder Woman, I have defeated her twice with two great characters. A third time should have easily happened, materialized, and yet here I sit, somehow in the defeated chair. I need a new chair. You can find me on Threads, the only social media site, at AlmightyRay316. I'm going to need to play 17 or 18 games of Final Girl in order to get over this. Wonderful board game. Check it out. Unpaid plug. Yeah, I'm ending this with an unpaid plug. Sue me. BetterHelp.
Ooh. By the way, Ray, I got two USS flags just because my kids wanted me to have something.
Don't and you even.
I did, and I'm so sorry. I threw out the other one because I just didn't want to. You know how every Tuesday you go through my garbage, you may find a little... Anyway, you can find me on X, a.k.a. Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook by typing in at James Gatz. You remember to join the official Hoodwin Facebook group to make a suggestion for a matchup for the show and to be part of our growing community. You can also find us on Instagram and TikTok at Who Would Win Show. Don't forget to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever else you go for your podcasts. On behalf of myself, Ray Cicanus, and the rest of the amazing Who Would Win production team, thank you once again for checking out another episode of Who Would Win. We'll see you next time.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey gang, I hope you enjoyed this episode and love listening to the show as much as we enjoyed making it. Quick reminder that you can support us by going to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow right now. Okay, gotta prepare for next week's episode. Hope the rest of your day is full of wins.
Sup everyone, Brian here, host of the TV and Movie Trivia Podcast. It's a trivia-style podcast focusing on TV and movies. Listen in for questions like, what's the name of Michael Scott's screenplay? What do you say to view the Marauder's map? What are Tony Stark's last words to Thanos in Avengers Endgame? And where does Ron Burgundy say he is when he calls the news station sobbing from a phone booth? I've covered The Office, Harry Potter, Marvel, Will Ferrell movies, Lord of the Rings, and more, with even more on the way. So play along to the TV and Movie Trivia Podcast anywhere you get podcasts, and stay tuned for more trivia!